Guys, if you want to see me live or see Tinfoil Hat Comedy live with myself, Eddie Bravo, and XG, please go to samtripoli.com for all the dates, and you can get ticket links there. Thanks for supporting the show.
Tinfoil Hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Yeah, well, man, we're back in the saddle. It is a great time to be alive, great time to be here. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. I'm here to rock, okay? And joining me, as always, is my partner in crime, one of my favorite people in the truth community, and a good friend of mine, XG, in the place to be, Xavier Guerrero.
What's up?
Well, you were missed, buddy. Everybody missed you in New York.
Was it? Was there a lot of hot shows?
Dude, there's hot shows, hot hoes, hot and smoke shows.
Damn.
It was a great show. Every show that we do, I always go about 20 minutes before the show, and I'm like, oh, it's empty. And then right before the show starts, you stick your head out, packed. The whole bottom was full. I am now realizing I have to figure out a way to get everybody to hear the dates. If you love the dates, if you want to see us live, and now we're going to do some after shows, some after parties, because it went really well, go to samtripoli.com and find your dates, because we got some great shows coming up. This week, we have, next week is Comedy Chaos. That's right, Comedy Chaos live at the Comedy Store. Joey Diaz, Chris D'Elia, you name it, brought to you by our good friends at abx.org. And guys, here's the thing. If you go to abx.org, Absolute Extract, and you use the promo code CHAOS, you get 20% off of everything, okay? All their weed, their vape pens. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing about their vape pens and this controversy that is people dying from vaping. You know it's a lie, right? We know it's a lie. You know it's a lie. It's all a lie. Nobody's dying from sucking on robot dicks, okay? Everyone's trying to suck those robot dicks. I'm telling you, later on, it's going to happen. There's no way that's good for your lungs, but you do you. But if you're doing CBD and weed, vape pens, okay, that's healthy. And that's our good friends at ABX. They have that shit. Go to abx.org, use promo code CHAOS, get 20% off. Now we got this new thing called Sleepy Time.
Knocks you out.
Knocks you out, dude. It's got good. It's got everything. Maricarin. Good luck on that. MYRCENE. Then Linalool. Why would you have me read this? Tipper nipper nipper no. Why would you do that? Trust me, it's got a lot of amazing ingredients in it, and it'll put you to sleep naturally. Because that's what people do at ABX.org. If you have a ABX.org, if you have a problem with going to sleep and you need some help, do it naturally, guys.
And don't complain. They got little pills, vapes, trinkets.
Yeah, it's fucking good to go, dude. Grab those tickets. Grab those tickets now. Joey Diaz, Christina Pazinski, Tony Rock, Whitney Cummings, and the list goes. Jeremiah Watkins in the Sex Show, Chris Lee, Brian Callen, all your favorite usual suspects. And then, guess where we're at? We're going to be at Utah. We're at Utah, Salt Lake City. We're at Wise Guys, everybody. Wise Guys in West Jordan. It's the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. XG, Eddie Bravo, myself, we're there. We're going to rock. We're bringing it, and we're rocking with some Jack Mormons, dog. Jack Mormons, we love you. And I'm excited about going there. You can grab all the tickets. 2020, I'm going to put together a rock club tour, I decided. One-nighters come in. I got to go to Detroit. I got to go all these places. I got to go rock. And I'm excited. What else do we got to do?
Patreon. You've been rocking on the Patreon.
It,
you've been rocking it.
Patreon every day. More Patreons. I'm doing it, man. $5. You get 2 to 3 hours of content every week. Dude, I'm getting censored on Instagram. I'm getting censored on YouTube. They don't want you to hear the truth, so I'm trying to put it up on different places. But you can go. I do Sunday fun days. I couldn't do it yesterday, but Sunday fun days. We got comedy now, and we got the whole Secret Society, the Mad Hatters, all there on there. $5 every month. It's a great way to support the show. And the T-shirts are rocking. Go to tinfoilhattshirts.com. And you can get it, all of them up. The New York ones will be there. And wait till you see the next two. They are murderers. 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 Literally murderers. Aaron, what's the score? Okay, oh, still 4-3. Guys, I'm excited to have it back. We've had the last couple weeks, we've had nothing but three-timers. People have been on the show three times. And these guys are no exceptions. I asked them what they want to talk about, and they said some DMT, some aliens. I go, send me some talking points, and they said, yeah. And then I hit them back a little later. I said, can I get those talking points? They're like, totally. And I never got talking points. I am looking forward to someday doing a live show with these guys in Canada, rocking out. They are the Grimerica show. Please welcome, as always, Darren Grimes and Graham Dunlop. Man, you guys are the first people I didn't fuck their names up. I get so nervous at that moment. My whole body tightens up. My butthole puckers.
You still don't even say my name completely right. Arrow.
We got good, easy Canadian names.
I do it too, though, man. I pronounce it beforehand, and then as soon as it comes to time, I fuck it up all the time.
Don't say Graham's name right. It's been fucking 380 shows.
I might add one more person just to say names. Just to introduce everybody.
The namesayer?
The namesayer.
And welcome the namesayer, my co-host and namesayer. So guys, how are you, man? For those that don't know who you are, if you listen to the show, you should know who they are. They're some of my favorite guests have been on the show. Tell them a little bit about the Grimerica podcast. I was reading the description of your show. You guys go hard to paint on that. A little less compromised than what? Hello? What? Tell us a little bit about
the show. Thanks for having us on again, man. It's that you've been killing it lately. I mean, it's awesome to see somebody like you who's doing really well. You're getting lots of listeners and you're hitting these topics really deep. You know, I just listened to your Charlie Robinson episode just to give you an idea. Like, that book is on my table. We quote from it every episode. So we try and we don't get too deep as deep as you sometimes, but we hit all the topics, like some of the light conspiratorial stuff, spirituality.
I want to move UFOs, into that realm.
Bigfoot, a lot of the esoteric stuff.
We disagree on most of it, so we can't go that deep. And then in my defense, it was like 9 o'clock Sunday night, and I was on my couch pretty stoned when he started texting me.
Oh, okay, my bad. What are the non-whacked out of your brain hours for you? What are those exactly when I call when you're not wasted or drunk? And you're single now, right?
Okay.
All right. Moving.
She listens
right
to the show.
Along, moving right along.
I don't drink. By the time when the sun goes down, I'm usually by that point. I'm starting to smoke the devil's lettuce.
There's nothing wrong with that. I would love to get to that place where I could smoke weed, but I'm not. I'm going hard in the paint on sobriety, and I get super paranoid when I smoke weed and I want to jerk off. I don't know what it is. It's just like this
That's
weird
okay,
thing.
Man.
Never heard someone say, when I'm just paranoid, like, I jerk off.
Yeah, I smoke weed, and I just stare at the door thinking someone's going to kick in that door.
No, I support your sobriety 110%. And like I said, that's even better. So you come off your year, you give me a call, we'll go out in the Canadian woods and we'll have some psychedelics. We'll have a good old time.
I'm totally down. You know, like, I am open to doing psychedelics, but I just want to do, like, I'm going to go one hard year, just clean it up. I'm doing a sober October on no soda, too. I mean, I just got nothing left in my life. No soda, no porn, no coke, no weed, no shrooms, no nothing. There's just nothing left. What are you doing your sober October on?
No.
Nothing?
No.
This guy's high on coke right now. If our listeners want to check out one of your episodes, what would be the best episode for them to check out? If you say, hey, check out the Grindmerica podcast, which one's the best one?
Well, if I was to go with the fan favorite, it would be the very first interview we had with Randall Carlson. I'd have to look up the episode number, but that's the one that's been downloaded the most. I think probably one of my personal favorites is 160 with Neil Adams.
And on the growing earth theory?
The growing earth theory, that's growing really resonated with me, yeah.
What is the growing earth theory?
Well, the growing earth theory is this. I mean, it kind of bodes well with the electric universe theory. I think the two of those could sort of go hand in hand a little bit. But
let's
the idea is
that.
Basically that there's a space at the center of the earth. The sun is shooting out all these photons or protons, one of the two. Those are causing pair production at the center of the earth, which is actually creating matter. So it's not just the earth that's growing.
That everything grows. Like Jupiter will eventually become a sun, and like everything's just constantly growing. And when he shows the moon, some of the moons, he'll superimpose them back together, like shrink them down, and all the canyons and everything like fit back together. Like if you were to shrink the earth down, it's not like it's not plate tectonics that happened. It's more of like a shrinking or growing.
One of the interesting things about that was that it actually turns out that those deepest parts of the Pacific Ocean and that big trench in the middle is some of the newest rock samples we have. Some of those samples that I think one of the stats was like 175 million years old down there.
Oh my, I think we live in such an interesting world, dude. It's always, totally. I mean, there's so much more than everybody knows. And it's just like, I don't know why people want to believe. And maybe we are living on a rock that's hurling through space, that's in this perfect like eclipse around the moon. And, you know, just somehow when the moon and the sun go in front of each other, it just works out perfectly. If you want to believe that, that's great. I don't know if we live on a flat earth. I don't know. But I hope we do, because that makes everything a whole lot more interesting, right? Because, like, everything gets thrown out.
Instantly,
and it's way fucking more crazier if we live on a flat planet than we live on something hurling through space.
That, you know how many people
you think it
mad?
Is? I think both are pretty fucking crazy.
I think, I think the hurling through space
sounds
rock
way crazier.
No, I think it's like we've talked about it forever. It's like, okay, it's all yay, boom, we went around 365 days, yay, right? That's boring to me. A flat earth?
Well, it's all fake.
What? Yeah, okay. So
I mean,
what are we
you're
talking
smoking
simulation?
Up DMT and you figure out pretty quick that the fabric of reality is pretty thin.
Do you think it's a simulation?
I don't even know that it's a simulation. I don't know. Okay. So in order to get to that, we'd have to get back to sort of my thoughts on reality, which have kind of come a long way in the field of the podcast or in the history of the podcast. But at this point right now, and I reserve the right to change my mind or be wrong on anything at any given moment, but I think right now that human beings, at least, maybe more, but at least human beings come from some sort of mass consciousness, singular consciousness, something that is manifesting everything. Or maybe it's not manifesting everything, but it's manifesting all of us. And the reason we're all here is to experience individuality and everything else. And then when we die, we probably actually go back to that sort of mass consciousness. So I think what we're doing when we're in this realm is we're sort of all co-creating reality at the same time. I don't think it matters what. I mean, I think if you can convince fucking 51% of the planet that the Earth is flat, it probably goes back to flat.
I think there is a little bit of simulation into that. There is a little bit of like Westworld into that, right? A little bit. But instead of going back to a reality, we just become, I guess what you're trying to say is like maybe you think we get reabsorbed into this universe, right?
Well, it's like fucking Bill Hicks said it best, man. We're like the universe experiencing itself subjectively. And the only way it can do that is to let us kind of run wild. And when you start looking at things that way, then, you know, everything sort of fits in there. You can look at the remembering past lives all fits into that. You can look at psychic phenomena as fitting into that. You can look at remote viewing as fitting into that. You can look at channeling as fitting into that.
Near-death experiences.
Near-death experience, the afterlife. It's all just, I mean, when you can figure out how to, if you have this group consciousness or this singular consciousness or this Christ consciousness or whatever you want to call it at the center of everything, then as soon as you can tap into that, you've got
access to
everything. Explain to me, I flunked first grade, singular consciousness. What do you mean when you say that?
I think
that?
He means one collective. I think he means a collective, yeah, almost like Jung's collective unconscious.
We all come from the same sort of collective consciousness.
Like an energy, like
it's like something. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of like, I mean, the best way to look at it would be to look at a fucking colony of ants and what the fuck they're doing. And if you look at that zoomed out enough, it becomes pretty clear right away that those ants aren't working on an individual level. And when I drive over the hill going into the city in the morning, and I see all the fucking taillights going one way on the expressway and the headlights coming the other way, and these high rises are going up over here and all this other shit's happening over there. And that none of that's happening because of one person. That's all just all these weird little overlapping storylines all over the place, converging and creating reality. I mean, it's happening there on an actual practical level that humans are co-creating our civilization. So I just take that one step further and say that on a subconscious level, we're probably co-creating reality. That's why the placebo effect works. That's why the nocebo effect works.
I dig that, man. It's like, it's almost, we're manifesting reality.
Yeah, so you have the ability, and I think part of the trick with manifestation and stuff like that is that, dude, I can only manifest so much reality. So it's like I have this field of influence, and it can like overlap Graham's field of influence a little bit, but I can't overtake Graham. So I can't like start flying around and shit because that's too much.
Yeah, that is not like whatever it is, it's not part of the code, right? Like,
that's right.
Well, I mean, you might be able to levitate a little bit.
At the same time, I can maybe create a company that gives 10,000 people jobs one day or something like that. I think that can be an aspect, and you can sort of start to subtly affect other people's realities that way, as long as it's not at such a level that they won't buy in.
Well, if you meditate enough, like some of the biolocation from these monks and levitating, I mean, I wouldn't put it past it. You can start doing stuff like that.
Change their body temperature, all that sort of stuff. I mean, who knows? I mean, one of the interesting things is because I got into reading a lot of the like success books and stuff like that as well, and the New Thought books and the philosophy books, and all of that overlaps so much. I've come to the conclusion that placebo, magic, intention, manifestation, New Thought, magic, it's all the same thing. And that's my explanation for it.
Yeah. I mean, like I was listening to somebody the other day talk about prayer, and like some people think prayer is stupid. I saw somebody put out a meme, your prayers, and it all had all the different types of way of praying doesn't matter. And I think that's wrong. I do think prayer is just attempting to manifest, right? It's just this way to talk to the universe. Now there was a time where everyone believed, a large portion of this country believed in a Christian God, and like that made those laws real, right? I mean, that made it real. We all believed in it, therefore that is real. And when you say positive thinking, you like write down everything you're thankful for, write down a list of goals you want to have, and like you start doing that, these goals start happening. And like that's all I think prayer is. Prayer is basically just you putting out to the universe, the collective conscious, these things that you would like to see happen.
Yeah, it's changing your state of being. When you pray, it's changing your state of being. And if you're in a state of gratitude, I mean, they've shown me studies that...
Yeah, that's the one step further I would take it, is to gratitude.
Yeah.
Don't just pray with...
Yeah, and then gratitude. I mean, then your being actually changes when you're in gratitude. So I mean, it's not just a silly words, it's changing shit.
I mean, I start my day every day with a little prayer and a little gratitude. For a couple of months now, just I pick three things that I'm grateful for, and I don't leave the house until I acknowledge them. And I mean, I spend my life like I'm living on a fucking cloud. Now, that might just be me, and that, you know, whether that's a real, what's the word I'm looking for? Whether it's an objective thing or a subjective thing, it makes my life better.
You know, and it's just like, you're like, okay, so there's this God out there, right? And this God, and, you know, this bad things happen to this good person. Why would a God let that happen? Well, it's like, I don't think a God let that happen. I just think there's so many energies in the world, and some are bad energies. And not that you're a bad person, but sometimes you cross into this bad energy, and it just, it's...
But when you pray, you have to pray for stuff that's reasonable. That's why it happens. If you sit there praying, hey, I wish I won the lottery, that's when it
especially now more and more. I think the lottery's rigged. I don't know when you're finding out all these shady people.
I heard you talk about that, some of the people that have won and they don't announce
who it is. You're like, what a great way to just fucking funnel money, right?
Funnel money, yeah, laundering it through the casino like you talked about. That's when you said that, it just a bunch of things clicked for me.
I think there's a couple tricks to it. So I think it's not just prayer. It's kind of like there's got to be a lot of gratitude in there. I think part of the hack is you have to actually be able to feel those feelings of gratitude for what you're actually praying for. So if you're trying to manifest something, you have to try and put yourself in the place of how you're going to feel when you get that thing, and try and feel those feelings, because I think the underworld or whatever, wherever you're going to make those things happen runs on emotion, not on logic. And the other thing is that I think you really need to, it's not just a matter of hoping you could win the lottery. I mean, when you really get down to the nitty gritty, it comes down to being of service and adding value to the world. And if you figure out how you're going to do those things, A, how you're going to make the world a better place, B, how you're going to make people's lives better, and C, how you're going to help people, the money will fucking just fall into place.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. I was just kind of thinking, like, all these people who win the lottery, how their lives crash and burn. Like, it's almost like more of a burden. And I know it sounds nuts, but, and like, sometimes I make statements on here, and then people find all these links, and I'm wrong. And again, I have no problem with being, I'm here to do right, not be right. So if I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. Okay, I am not operating. Listen, I'm not your moral authority. Don't look for me for any kind of morals. I say, fuck weird shit as long as they're an adult and they're into it and they want to do it. I'm not going to judge. I think sexuality has been demonized. I think this shit going on right now with Martin Luther King and Gandhi, how everyone's trying to, they banged hookers and there's this tape of Martin Luther King laughing while somebody's getting raped. I'm like, where's the tape? Never heard it. Where is it? You put this shit out. And it's never there. And it's like this, just this thing to demonize sex. So I'm not here to tell you that, Christian sex is the only sex to do. I don't believe in that. I believe that we have seen religious books inserted into religion well after the fact. And who are these people, inserting these books? And like, listen, if you love the Bible, I am not here to do anything to disrespect your religion. If that works for you, it's along the lines of what we're talking about, this collective consciousness. If the Bible helps you live a code that allows you to be a better person and make the world a better place and make the people around you happier, then that works for you.
And me. Go ahead. Go every day.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Don't forget that thou shall not judge fucking clause.
Do it, dude. Do it.
Because that's the worst part, is everyone's just judging everyone else. If everyone could just get off their high horse and just let other people exist without, I keep coming back to Twitter. Twitter might be the worst thing in the world. I feel like that really brought everything to a head. You know, like, Jack should just delete Twitter. We'll give him the Nobel Prize and move on.
I want to tell you this. I'm just on Twitter for the blood and tears, okay? I'm just there for the fucking wars. I just like to show up. I mean, I make a living killing hecklers. Twitter's just another way to fucking fine-tune your heckling skills. So I'm just there for the wars and to make people cry. But going back to what we're talking about, the demonization of sex, okay, then why bring that up? You know, we see in the Bible, thou shalt not lay with man, and the interpretation of that, yet we constantly find people into these religions committing these sex acts that they're so against in this thing. Again, I'm not against the Bible. If it helps you live a moral code, okay, some good happen there. Let me rant, and then we'll get into that, Aaron. Live a moral code that makes the world a better place. Go for it. I've never heard of anybody winning the lottery. The point that I'm trying to get to is, like, I've never heard anyone winning the lottery and then suddenly making the world around them better. I could be wrong. And if I am wrong, please send me these links, because I always think someone wins the lottery and then shit gets bad.
Well, some couples decided to be anonymous and they made it an issue.
What do you mean?
2018, this couple won the lottery and they wanted to go anonymous.
Yeah.
And they didn't let them. They said they had to, like, make it public. And
well,
they
were trying to keep it. They are, except for when fucking pedophiles win it, or like or gun runners on Vegas win stuff. I mean, like, yeah, it's all. Why do you got to know who won the fucking lottery? Why do they got to tell you that? Why do they got to tell you how much pro athletes make? What is that about? That's just so everybody can know, so the fucking vultures come out. But going back to what we're talking about, like, you know, you're like, oh, I want to win the lottery. Okay, here's the money. You're still the same motherfucker. You're still the same person. But now you have a ton of cash, and that is like gasoline on your soul, because you're just going to burn everything down. Now you just got more money to do it. It's like in 12-step programs, they talk about how, like, if you just... Like, some people like, oh, this town is so bad, I'm moving. And then you move to this other town, and then bam, all of a sudden, within months, you're in the exact same place because you're the same person. So if your life is shit and you think money will help it, no. Money goes really well when you fucking center yourself. And you find...
Yeah, nothing will help it.
Yeah.
If your life is shit, nothing will help it. Not a woman, not a relationship, not winning the lottery, not going on a vacation. You just got to fucking look deep inside yourself and start slowly fixing the shit you don't like.
Yeah, being honest with yourself. Being honest with who you are. Changing your moral code. Are you going to the... I always say this. Whenever you listen to people talk, they'll do something like, hey, dude, you want to go grab a pizza? And they'll be like, no, yeah, yeah. Why they say no first? It's like a very interesting response. And I think it has something to do with their point of view. Like, are they to the negative first? Do they assume the worst? I'm going to admit, sometimes when Dana goes, guess what happened? I always assume, something bad's about to go down, because that's my mindset. And, like, I have to change my mindset. And it's like, there's 1,000 things going on in this room right now. What you choose to focus on is your reality. There is no reality. There is only perception. And what you focus on becomes your perception, right?
Yeah, dude. And it kind of goes even deeper than that, because humans have this weird sort of thing where Brené Brown talks about it quite a bit, where it's like, even if you're like you don't even have to be talking to someone else. Say you, like, you just go in your room and you see your baby in the crib or whatever, or whenever, it seems like humans have this thing where we get these feelings of how blessed we are to have this child, or how in love we are with our kid, or whatever it is. You know, you get that flash in your head of something tragic sort of happening that reminds you not to get too excited.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. It's like, I tell people, but you know, I'm nobody, dude. I really am just a little, like, speck of shit in this, and I not shit, but I'm a tiny thing in this big world. But sometimes I look at my life and I think about how blessed I am, and I just think about how different my life was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Yeah. So we do New York City, right? And I told my manager, I go, hey, I think we can get 400 people into a place, you know? And she's like, okay, let's do it. Got 200 and some people showed up to the show. Now, part of me really quickly got very sad at that. For a brief second, I was like, oh man, I'm in a city of like 18 million people and 200 and some people showed up. And then I remembered that 2 years ago, nobody would show up. Nobody. Nobody would have come to that show. I've done shows in the past, way back in the day, when there were 5 people there.
Hey, but those 250 fans you said are loyal, because you sold out all your shirts.
But for sure.
You
but the point is that I should be just thankful that at this point, And like I was at a coffee shop and I listened to this guy ranting on a phone about how bad his life was. He's super in debt. Like nothing's working out. He's like, he would never kill himself, but if it just keeps getting worse and worse, he could see itself happening. I just wanted to pull him aside and go, dude, 2 fucking years ago, I was broke as fuck. Nothing was going good. I've been dropped by everybody who represented me. Nothing was going well. And in a year, your life can change. Your life can change. And the old saying, and these are the sayings, and that is, madness is insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And that's just the fucking truth, dude. Right?
Yeah.
If you
you had a choice to make, right? Change you could something. Either pack up your shit and go home, or you could make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or you could have called your buddy and told him, spent an hour on the phone telling him how shitty your life was and then went and jumped off a bridge. Or you could say, hey, the only person who's going to fix this shit is Sam Tripoli.
Yeah. Why is the listen, man. The 12-step program is fucking the most incredibly smart thing, and this is not advertising for it. But the shit I learned in there, even when I relapsed later, it still stuck with me. One of the biggest things I ever learned is, like, nobody's thinking about you. Nobody. Nobody's out there fucking thinking about making your life miserable. Nobody is. They're all white knuckling. Well, Sam, this person did this to me. But dude, I guarantee you, that person that did that to you, that was a drive-by. Meaning they were doing that to everybody and you just were in the line of fire. And that they weren't thinking about you. Most people are just white knuckling their lives. Okay? They're on a steering wheel and they're just trying to keep the train on the tracks. They're not thinking about you, man. And when you start to realize that you're like, nobody cares. And it sounds really lonely. You're like, oh, I'm alone in this universe. Nah, man, you're not at all.
It's freeing.
It's the most freeing shit ever. And there's just like these.
Not only that.
Yeah, go on.
It's like if you can choose to be a force of good in that fucking white knuckle environment, then, I mean, that's what you're doing now, right? And you're talking about how good that feels right now. So what a difference is that from being a white-knuckling piece of shit? Not a piece of shit. I shouldn't say that. You're just in a different place.
Yeah.
Taking out your anger and whatever else. You're taking out your shit on the world. Or you spend your time, like you said, trying to make the world a better place, which is exactly what you're doing right now.
Let it go.
Which is probably
a
reason why I would argue why you're doing as well as you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it's a blessing. You know, it's like I always tell people, it's like, man, everybody wants to make it early, dude. If I would have gotten everything I wanted 15 years ago, yeah. I would have been ran out of town. I just now it's just like, and I know people go, Sam, your Twitter's pretty angry. It's not angry. It's passion because I enjoy whack-a-moling people. But on an individual basis, I'm all about love and support. I'm all about people trying to help people better themselves, better their careers. I retweet all my comic friends because I want people to know about all these great people. But when I learned that, dude, the killer is inside. The killer is inside. It's like that movie, the horror film where the babysitter keeps getting go, have you checked the children? And then cops come, the killer's in the house. It's always in the house. It's always in the house. Yes, sometimes bad things happen and bad people show up. But you know, you see those statistics where like the whole crime business where, you know, oh, the stranger's going to kick in the door. I'm going to take all your shit. Yeah, that happens. But usually the killer, the murderer, the rapist is somebody, you know, it's the person, you know, it's the person. And usually you're the person who has brought a lot of shit on you. And not 100%, but a lot of the time. And it's because I believe we live in some kind of universe where everything is energy. And the energy you put out is the energy you get back. Now, does that mean everything bad that's happened to someone is because they deserve it? No. Again, other people have energy out there. There are things that are out of our hands sometimes. But I really do believe in this world, the energy you put out is the energy you get back. And if you just start changing what you see And that's why I tell people, man, if you make, if you do two things, things will change. I believe your life will change. If one, three things, let's say three things. If you pray just a little bit at night, a day, just a prayer thanking the universe for everything you got. If you make a list at the end of the day of what you're thankful for and what you did well today, your life will change. If you do three things a day, three things, simple things for someone else without expecting anything back in return, I promise you, your life will change.
Yep.
And it's really simple. Hold the door. Yeah,
then you'll start recognizing it. You'll start acknowledging it, that inside thought. You can start separating from a little bit. You can start, you know, to when you do that inner work, you start to be able to just, you know, not listen to that thing in there. You know, and change it to the positive, which is exactly what you're saying there. It's fantastic.
It is really just rewiring your brain, and it takes time. You just have to sit in it. What else do you have to do? You know, it's like I've lost two friends this year, man, and they just like could not get away from, you know, one of them was on pharmaceuticals, and I don't believe you know, to me, the pharmaceutical industry is the same as this carbon tax. It is not there to save anybody. It is there to have a permanent customer forever. They are going to tax countries for the rest of eternity. They could not care less about stopping global change, you know, climate change. They don't care about any of it.
And since you mentioned your two friends, always keep a connection with people. Call people randomly because it's always good. And they ask you, hey, why are you calling me? I'm just trying to see what's up, dog. How you been? It's been a while. And they might be in the position where you needed that call.
Yeah, for sure.
And
might
say they'll call you back and you're like, hey, what do you want?
I just
want
to say what's up. They just couldn't get past.
Yeah.
They never, you know, I always talk about shrooms changed my life, man. Shrooms changed my life. One day I did shrooms at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. And I did shrooms. It was when the show had just started. And some fan sent me shrooms. And normally now I wouldn't do any of them. But then I was like, hell yeah. And I did these shrooms. And I had this moment where I was just like, you know what, man? I'm exactly where I need to be. And I have a real regret that I never got to sit down with Brody Stevens and do mushrooms, because I really think that would change your life. Some people are like, oh, dude, you got bad trips on shrooms. I'm like, I don't think they're bad trips. I think that someone told me one time they did shrooms and it told them that they should stop doing comedy. I go, maybe that's not a bad thing. That's
you telling yourself.
Maybe that's universe going, you're happier. You might be happier doing this.
Yeah. Yeah,
we talk to the guys from MAPS once in a while, and I mean, those guys are having huge success with using psilocybin to treat depression. They're saying one single, like, 3-gram dose of magic mushrooms is, then those people don't need their antidepressants for 6 months.
Yeah, and the pharmaceutical companies hate this. They are gangster about this shit.
Oh, 100%. Gangster. I mean, the most spiritual experiences of my life have been on psychedelic substances.
I got this moment where I'm like, man, I'm exactly where I remember thinking, going, oh, dude, this is what they talk about. You know, and I've had Jans Irvin on, and I love Jans. I know people think I don't, but he kind of had this thing that, like, people's experiences on shrooms are through programming and that they're not really having it. They think they're having it. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly, man. I 100% had a moment where I realized, man, you're doing great. Think about where you are. I flunked first grade, man. I flunked. You know how bad you have to be to flunk first grade, man?
That's going to be hard on your psyche, too.
Dude, my parents must have been looking for store receipts, man, trying to get store credit, dog. Because who flunks first grade? This kid right here. And it's always been a fight, man. It's always been a fight for what I believed I should be getting. And it, everybody fought. And then I did these shrooms, and I remember going, man, I'm exactly where I need to be. And I was such in a good place. I found out how much I love 30 Seconds from Mars. That's how much love was in my heart. And I still love them to this day. But I still love them to this day. You can rearrange your life. It's about changing your point of view. And I'm like, dude, you ever meet those people who are super fucking positive? And you're like, God, it's so noisy. But what do they have in their life? Great shit going on.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when I had that, the DMT experience was kind of like all that wrapped into 7 minutes. It was like, I mean, I can't even put it any other way than actually feeling like Darren died. I mean, so that was like the most terrifying part of it was that slowly getting ripped apart into nothing. And then Darren's gone and you're sort of experiencing whatever the fuck you're experiencing without having any self to sort of anchor any of that back to. Like you see faces of people, but you don't know who they are or how they relate. You have these over, so after the terror, the feelings of love start coming in. And then when you're in that space where you kind of feel like you're slowly being put back together, which is kind of when you've sort of refocused back and you know where you are, you're back in your body, you know who you are, you're slowly coming back together, you know where you are in the universe, you know when you are in the universe because time and everything was just gone. And then, I mean, that at that point there was almost like that same sort of feelings you're explaining, where I mean, I almost burst into tears. Just because of feeling that as you're coming back together and just feeling how blessed you are. So it's like what I equate it to is like when I had those strong feelings of losing everything right before that, that was really feeling like what it would be like to lose everything. Like your connection to your kids, your loved ones, yourself, all gone for a couple of minutes. And then as that slowly starts coming back into your life, you realize how blessed you are. And then you start realizing that, you know, money or your job or your house or your marriage or whatever it is that you're going through is fucking nothing compared to what real loss. And I mean, you're not just, you know, what would it be like if something happened to my kids? That's not what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm talking about you on every level of your being has just lost the connection to everything you love. And then you got it back stronger than ever, which was pretty magical. And then, I mean, it took me probably about a week before, I mean, I'm still getting subtle nuances, changes within myself that I'm just sort of becoming aware of now. But, like, I don't know, it was kind of like all the kind of hate you build up over your life or whatever you want to call it, the hate in your heart.
Resentment,
hate. Yes.
Was just like all this resentment that I built up for different people over the years, all gone. And I wasn't sure how long that would last, but it's been a while now, weeks and weeks, and it's not creeping back in. Like it's shifted my outlook on life and the nature of being for sure.
Yeah, man. You
and
know,
it really on. Like exactly what you're talking about with the mushrooms, just on a hyper. I mean, I would explain it to taking my most powerful mushroom experience and timesing it by like 100 and cramming it into 10 minutes.
I love it. And let me tell you something, man. If you do shrooms and it freaks you out, I think that's a good thing, man. Because to me, that might be that you got so far away from what this whole trip's about that you're worshiping the wrong shit. Your Twitter followers, your Instagram, your, you know, your how nice your car is, all this, your phone, all this shit, right? You're worshiping the wrong shit. That you're, like, this spiritual experience is rocking you to the core. And that maybe you need to simplify your shit. And I'm just like, man, I you know, it's like people can hear me right now. Like, Sam, you're the guy who goes crazy on Twitter. Well, look at what I go crazy on. I get really angry when we worship people who hurt other people. And that is something that's very important to me. You know, you brought up the MAPS guys and all that stuff and how they're helping all these soldiers coming back from these illegal wars. And, you know, I'm really upset that we have a media trying to romanticize George Bush. And you can sit there and tell me what role he had, and maybe he was a puppet for Cheney and them, but that dude was the president when we got hit and when those towers went down. And when they fall, and then they They faked the anthrax text. And they let people in the Postal Service die from anthrax. Why they took anthrax a month earlier, the vaccine for anthrax, to stop it so they didn't get affected by it. And then they lied about weapons of mass destruction and that led to 500,000 people die. And then we sent our sons and daughters over there to fucking just psychologically get destroyed and sent back and broken. Were they dying like, what is it, 10 to 100 people every day killing themselves? And you want me to chill the fuck out? Because Ellen is sitting down with him? And he did bad things a long time ago, yet these same people go nuts anytime Louis C.K. tries to do stand-up?
Well, and the problem is, like, Trump spent trillions in the military-industrial complex, but where's the outrage about that? They're too busy worrying about his fake racism. Like, if they would just start getting upset at him for the right things, for the real things, not all this fake bullshit.
Yeah.
There's lots of real stuff to get upset with him about. Not the fake stuff. Like, they're just losing credibility from all sides because the outrage is totally misplaced.
That is by design.
And it goes back to what you're talking about.
They don't want you to get mad at Trump for being a war criminal because that goes against the fucking narrative. There are no war criminals because we're not going to war. We're spreading democracy.
100%, dude. And it goes back to the
well, yeah, but it's all... That's where Graham and I go back and forth because I think Trump was just the next... And I'm a guy who fucking told people to vote for Trump 4 years ago because I thought he was a change candidate too. And now I can see a few years later that, you know, he's just the next actor in the entertainment division of the military industrial complex.
And I don't know about that.
And the
plan
is global fascism, and that's where it's going to keep going.
I don't know about that. I mean, if you heard his message in the EU recently, which the media decided to talk over, or at least the one clip I heard, they decided to talk over it. And after he brags about spending $2 trillion in the military industrial complex, but he really went in and said, like, we are, you know, a sovereign nation and all the nations should have a right to be respected and sovereign themselves. And we're not going to, you know, be taken over by the globalists. I mean, that's like, to me, that feels real. It feels like a real fight against globalism.
That
so
are
I don't
real.
Know where to, it's so visceral. It feels real, this fight.
But let me just say
time,
this. Let me just say
like
this.
70 different countries.
Right. Let me just say this, dude. Let me just say this. Like, To listen, I have a visceral reaction to telling you that a president is a good guy. I have a visceral reaction to this because I've been through so much lying bullshit. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Trump is a good guy. I do believe he laundered money for drug cartels. Now, I think drugs should be legal. And if you legalize them, there won't be drug cartels. Okay? I believe that he is paper rich, cash poor, okay? And everybody's going crazy on that. We're in a nation of debtors. I'm going to say that. People say he's the mob. Well, let me just say this. I think Vegas, Hollywood, the music industry, and television was much better when the mob ran everything, okay? There are things to hate Trump about, okay?
Also, the FBI runs the mob.
Yep.
Always has.
Well, dude, the Jesuits and the fucking Vatican run the CIA and they run organized crime. Okay? That's for real. But the things they hate about fucking Trump is that he's allowed the international banking cabal, again, not a code for Jews. Okay? Code for international banking cabal. Okay? Into the White House with that fuck-faced Jared Kushner, who looks like he likes to have sex with a knife to his throat, okay? He's a scumbag. His daughter is pushing fucking Minority Report technology. Those are bad things, okay? He's selling fucking weapons to Saudi Arabia to continue a genocide in Yemen. Those are real things to get angry about. The news will never tell you that. Because the people who are your newscasting talking heads get their checks signed by people, make money in that. Those are real things. Now, I will tell you that the 4 major pedophile sex trafficking fucking trials this year, with Son of John about to go do it, God of John, what's it called? God of God, excuse me. That trial hasn't started. But those 4, when we're talking Nexium, Epstein, fucking El Chapo, and this John of God. Those are 4 real trials. And that is real fucking deep state currency. That is going back to what we're talking about the blackmailing of sex. Now, I do not condone sex with children. I am not saying that. But the demonization of weird sex, gay sex, dudes banging everything that moves, you know, the demonization of all that is done to blackmail people. So when you're taking down pedophile networks, because there have been four major trials, you can't, or about to be a fourth trial, you can't say that's not real. And here's honestly, man, this pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement is a giant, giant fucking blow to the deep state and their fat pockets, because that was going to be trillions of dollars.
Yep, I agree 100%.
That's all I'm saying,
that's what makes
dude.
It feel real to me. That's the other one is the Paris thing. Exactly.
And
they don't seem to be buying into that narrative, that global warming narrative. Dude. Thank Christ, because it's you know, you'd never heard me say
that. I'm not saying that he's a good guy either, but there is something like, dude, when he went and to the FBI and got Jeffrey Epstein nailed the first time, That marks a fucking break. Now, Bloods and Crips can work together sometimes and then want to kill each other. So it's possible that they're both two different bad factions that are going at each other. It's possible. That shit happens.
Another good thing he's going after is the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
That's another one.
Yeah, he does want to go after the Federal Reserve. I mean, like, those are real things, dude. Like, dude, the whole thing about the tariffs with China, dude, since Bill Clinton and free trade, we've had him, Bill Clinton, Obama, and Bush all have been presidents of the United States. I've never heard that we were getting tariffs from China.
That's because it wasn't time for war with China yet.
I don't
know.
Now
it is.
I don't know.
And dude, I'm telling you, man, I don't know, dude. Maybe I just have to have hope then.
I still keep my Trump card in my back pocket just in case. I kept one.
I wanted just to in be. Case. Yeah, I'd love to
be wrong. I'd love to be wrong because I'd love to see the world become a better place. But in my model, the world comes a better place just from more humans becoming better humans. So it could all just be, you know, the ship starting to right itself because people are less shitty than they were.
Well, he's definitely woke a shit ton of people up.
The Nickelback tweet was honestly the first time I've like laughed out loud.
It was so good.
Oh, my God.
When I hit play on that fucking tweet, I was alone in my truck, and I fucking burst out laughing.
And then they're not liberals. Then these progressive ass-face fuck faces had to defend Nickelback. How funny is that? They had to pick which one they hated more. I love it, dude. And listen, let's go back to why, if this is business as usual, why would he completely destroy the mainstream media? Why would he destroy Google? Yeah. Why would he destroy Facebook? I'm telling you, I have a visceral reaction sticking up for the president because I've been fucked so many times, okay? But it's like literally destroying everything they've worked on.
Yeah, but I think the next part of the script was starting to turn the American people against themselves. And I mean, one of the books I recently read was Dave McGowan's Understanding the F Word, American Politics and the Illusion of Choice, or something like that, or American Fascism and the Illusion of Choice. And I mean, this book was written back in the 90s. And at the end of it, Trump's mentioned by name in there at some point. And near the end of it, he talks about the last paragraph of the book is like, and what you're going to see over the next 30 years is the American population slowly start to be more disintegrated and more angry with each other, because it's the only way that the fucking train can keep going.
Okay, so let's just put this in perspective.
It's like it almost gets too homogenized. It gets too big and too homogenized. So the big three networks aren't anymore. So we got to knock those networks out of the way and, you know, come in with all this new alternative media. And it's going to go back to, you know, it went from a bunch of small outlets that were probably all on the same thing, we just didn't know about it, to one big homogenized fucking thing. And now we've caught on to that, so they'll go back to a bunch of small ones.
Yeah, again. But then why would big tech be censoring so much, and why would they be in on the thing as well? Like, wouldn't there be more
this
of a
political correctness movement?
I think thing, those then? Guys are so good at their psychology and understanding how our minds work that's just all to keep us in a state of disarray. I really
but
do.
Take
I think
a look at this, dude.
I think all the best psychologists in the planet for the last 50 years have either ended up in advertising or in fucking technology.
Right. But how come? Okay, let's take a look at this. Look at like open discussion on Israel that never happened before. Like, why would tech companies allow that discussion to happen? Because that is like, dude, I think Israel is a business transaction cloaked in a religious war that they want to. I saw this. Someone sent me a video about the Khazarians and the Rothschilds and how
slippery slope.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. But it's just like maybe it's such an advanced game they're playing that they're literally setting everything on fire so that there's no one thing that you can go to. But I just feel like everything they've tried to do, every game they've tried to play, is no longer effective because, this great awakening that's happening. And maybe I'm just hope against hope, but it just does not seem like the push from the DNC to impeach Trump and how that just died. The push to fucking go to war with Iraq just died. I mean, it just dies because people are so weird to aware of the tricks anymore. Kamala Harris, if this was 10, 15 years ago, she would just march right in and be the fucking person to run for president. Now she can't get anything going because everyone knows her record.
It's horrible.
I agree. So that's why I would say that we're seeing the pushback against the tech companies because something new has to happen because the old isn't working anymore. Too many of us fuckheads are waking up and causing problems and making podcasts and making memes and making YouTube videos. And we're showing that the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, but I think saying that that's a plan to make that happen, to polarize us. And that's what we'll do if we're polarized. So how I thought that was the plan.
That I think that is the plan.
But, dude,
the problem is where the plan ends is that all of us probably end up in a fucking gulag someplace.
We have more than ever. We have people pushing against Hollywood's numbers are dead. Hollywood's numbers.
I can't watch it anymore. I can't stomach it anymore.
Bitcoin is rising.
Well, that's the one thing I would say is the dollars is the big thing. Is that it's like where you spend your money is way, way, way the fuck more important than who you vote for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. It just seems like it's different. And maybe Trump's represents a different kind of group who wants to take over. I don't know. But whatever the status quo is, I think it's no longer working. And I think there is a real war going on between Trump and the establishment that was Clinton, Bush, Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not Trump. Probably not Trump. Trump's like the head of something, right? Like somebody. Trump's not the mastermind. You don't think, right?
No,
like somebody
I think Trump. Listen, man. Here's what I mean. Like, here's the thing: the military, right? You could have at the highest levels of everything are complete and utter psychopaths, but some people don't get to those highest levels, and a little below these levels might be people who still have some sort of humanity in them. And these wars that we've been doing, they are obviously to so many people bullshit banker wars. And that maybe these people, I think there are a lot of people, and I'll say this about police officers too, that there are a lot of people who still love the United States, love the Constitution, love the Bill of Rights. I know I'm waking up to how important they are. And how I am digging in right now. And, you know, when we laughed at Charles Hessen saying, you know, you'll have to take this gun from my cold, dead hands. That is my fucking motto right now. That is my mantra. You want to take the guns? Come fucking take my guns. Because I'm not giving them to you. Because I know what happens when guns go away. Bad shit happens. And these politicians who are trust fund kids telling us to give up guns while they leave behind fucking enclosed private fucking What am I looking
gated
for?
Gated communities.
Okay.
Insecure.
I think
and
the
everything.
Truth is all coming out, man. And I believe at the, in the military, at maybe not the very highest level, just below it, are people who still love the fucking country and still love the Bill of Rights and the fucking and our Constitution and our fucking super gun people. And they see what's going on. They see that we're going to fight wars and we're protecting poppy fields and we're killing people for no other reason and we're hurting our sons and daughters and they're coming back completely broken. And this has to stop. And that they see places like Detroit and all these fucking cities that are third world. Now, that's not against Detroit because Detroit's having its own kind of fucking rebirth. But there are parts of this country that are fucking getting bad. And there, I think I want to believe that at the highest part of these military parts, and I'm not saying we got to rely on the military. I say we got to rely on our sons and our brothers and sisters to go, fuck, we're going down a dark path. And that when they found out that Hillary was sending our secrets to China, that they said no fucking more. And it looks like that. Because what's going on is all the people I trust are saying, dude, there is a war about to happen inside the structure of this government to take back what has been fucking stolen from us and given to the other side. And when Q says we'll save Israel for last, that's not anti-Israeli. That is dark arts motherfuckers who are fucking playing both sides of the thing, just both sides of the fucking fight, just like they did World War II. When the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Bushes fucking funded Hitler, who was Jewish. And the fucking, they're all fucking, the dude, the Rothschilds are dark arts, but they say they're Jewish. They play both sides of ball. And that's what these people are doing right now with the U.S. and China. And I think people are fucking not happy about it. And I think we got to fight back. God damn, I'm yelling at you guys.
I hope you're right. No, fantastic. That was great. That was a fucking great rant. And I fucking hope you're right. I really do.
I do, too, because if not, dude,
sometimes I find it hard to believe that they with as much power and control as they have that, you know, they haven't thought that far ahead. I'm right there with you on World War II. I think Hitler was an American fucking puppet.
Yep.
And that Project Paperclip was an extraction.
It's not American puppet,
you know,
dude.
That the
it's
allies,
fucking City
the
of London.
Didn't do,
City of London,
didn't do
dude. It's Kazarians, bro. It's like, why is the international banking bubble working with China but not Russia? Why? Because, man,
Russia's
it goes
always been a problem.
It goes back to Kazaria, dog, and how the Russians right. whooped Kazarian's ass and made them change religions. And, dude, if you just start watching it, it's like all the pieces start to come together.
I think that's the whole reason for Hitler was to take out fucking Russia. And the only reason the Allies even landed on Europe was because it became abundantly clear that Russia was about to run fucking rimshot over all of Europe.
Yep, dude. Yep, and I'm not saying Putin's a great guy, but there's a – dude, you guys need – not you guys, but the people need to listen, man. Russia sent ships – to fucking back up Abraham Lincoln. And y'all don't want to believe it, and it's factually true. There are pictures of Russian soldiers with the fucking the North soldiers. It's the truth, dude. You can find those pictures on the internet. Because they've always
also,
pushed back against
the... Wasn't Russia like the first place to call after 9/11 too?
Yeah, dude. Dude, there's a reason they hate them. Now, does that mean that Rothschilds haven't given money to Russia? Of course, they like to make money. They'll play, like they say, they play both sides of the ball. The only thing they want is straight up cash. And I actually believe that the fucking Rothschilds are just the boogeyman and it's black nobility, the old Italian banking families. That's my real opinion. But it's war, dog. And like, if we're wrong about Trump, we're fucked. And these people who seem to enjoy that when we seem a little bit wrong, they're there to fucking celebrate. When we're a little bit wrong, they celebrate. But you never hear them when it comes back around that we were right the whole time. But when they celebrate that we might not have gotten right, they're celebrating their own demise.
The problem is if you're wrong, then we're fucked both ways.
Right.
Either way.
Well, I think if you're wrong, there's war with China. It's within the next 10 years, probably.
And you know what? Again, it's not people. I've met the Chinese. They're good people.
They're great.
It's power structures, man. It's the power at the top of China. It's the power at the top of Israel. It's fucking power structures, dude. It's not fucking England. It's the power structures, man. It's the people at the top. Stop fighting with people here and start looking at the people up here and at the top. And they're always getting us to fight with each other.
We were always at war with Eurasia.
Yep. And dude, it's 1984.
So you know how
it's like a guy.
Tulsi said she was going to pull everybody out for the military and stuff. Is that why they kind of banned her? Because like, no, we're no one's going to get close to pulling
anybody
back. Well,
no, dude, they kneecapped her because she fucking took out Kamala Harris.
I saw that. Oh, that was crazy. She
fucking
called her out on it. On her bullshit, yeah.
Kamala Harris.
Because she would win. Because she would win the DNC for sure. I mean,
for sure, dude.
They have to shut her down.
And
she's too anti-war.
I think Hillary is going to try to step in again. I think
she's taking out Biden right now. You know what's fucking hilarious is Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak were telling us 5 fucking years ago that there was an internal war in the fucking U.S. government.
Yeah.
5 years ago, way before Trump. Before fucking Trump announced his thing, the No Agenda guys were saying that there's a fucking war between the army and the intelligence services of the U.S. It's an internal civil war. Yeah. These guys have been saying that for 5 fucking years.
Well, the FBI and CIA hate each other.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, like the CIA. I mean, you found Zorik or whatever his name was, Sheep Dip. He was really CIA. They were infiltrating that. And, dude, I think there's probably great people at the FBI. I really do. And then there's just a fucking bad group that just rots everything. And it's just like, I don't hate people. I don't hate cops, man. My family's in law enforcement, dude. But when they come to crack skulls, they send the cops. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
And you want to give guns to the cops? Fuck, man.
You want to go be like Hong Kong? They're getting fucked.
Guy, yeah.
I've seen those videos. Horrible.
And, dude, it's so funny because they say it's a CIA fucking thing. It's just so interesting, dude. Like, if there was no CIA, would we be killing each other? I don't think so. I really don't. They're always behind all the bad shit, man. God, I just yelled for an hour. I'm sorry,
100%. Guys. I mean, the CIA's, I mean, that's who's extracting the Nazis after World War II. Was it CIA yet then, or was
it
still
OSS until OSS. 47, I think, or whatever. Or the OSI. OSS, OSI.
Yeah, dude, it's Nazi shit. And listen, man, we don't have to take it. And you know what, man? If we support Trump and he turns around and fucks us in the ass, then he's got to go too. We are the power, dude. And that's why they're getting us to fight with each other. And that's why the kids of these fucking globalists are fucking stealing the narrative and getting us to fight with each other. Because they're never going to be. It's like why emotions and words right now are the worst thing in the world. It's why everyone got angry at Roseanne Barr making a Planet of the Apes joke when they don't realize that Valerie Jarrett fucking was a big part of illegally assassinating someone, which has caused open air slave trades. Because those actions don't affect rich kids. They're fucking isolated from it. They go to private school. The minute they're born, their fucking food, shelter, and fucking clothing is taken care of. They go into private schools where they don't have to deal with fucking poor kids. They get juiced into fucking high-paying jobs. They go to fucking high-end bars and high-end restaurants and high-end nightclubs. They only powwow with the rich and famous. Real-world consequences don't affect them. You know what? And the only thing that gets to them is emotions. And that's why words that say mean things hit them so hard, because it's the only real world consequence that can touch them.
Wow, that's an interesting theory.
I think they're allergic to love, too.
Well, they're probably fucking traumatized, dude. Yeah. And that's why they're hijacking the political correctness thing, because they gotta stop the meanies.
Control. Yeah.
And they do the bidding
of
this
part of no. That's the first step in legislating speech.
The fucking meanies, guys.
They already legislated our speech.
Yeah, Canada. I get nervous with you guys. I don't fucking Trudeau. He's like, dude, he's a rich kid.
Stage arrested. I'd like to be at that show.
He needs to be, dude. He needs to be. I'll be honest with you, dude.
We'll see what happens. This month is our election month.
We've got a big election coming up.
Somebody was telling me that they know.
I might vote for the Green Party because they say they're going to legalize all the drugs.
Legalize all the drugs. Please. Stop the drug trade. Dude, someone's telling me they know where Anthony Weiner in New York goes to grab fucking coffee. I was thinking about going and finding him and having a little talk with him about what he's done to kids.
Don't hit him.
I won't hit him, but I'll make his life fucking. I won't. I'm not a violent guy, dude. But I'm going to let him know, dude, there's consequences for his actions, and we're fucking coming for you. You fucking produced kiddie porn, and we know it.
Yeah.
And you're never going to sleep lightly again. Ever. If I ever find out that Chelsea Handler was on those fucking flights and fucking did anything to kids, she's never going to stop hearing it. I promise you that. I will burn the city fucking down before I let anyone like that fucking live. If I see Dan Schneider or any of these punk-ass motherfuckers out there, I promise you they're going to get an earful. I ain't playing this shit no more. I'm over it. So guys, sorry to yell.
Can I run through a couple of our favorite episodes recently just before we run out of time here?
Yep.
Yeah, so we had John McAfee on for the second time. He told us about his escape from the Caribbean. It was fantastic.
What episode is that? Can you tell?
That's episode 369. We had one Marshall Leffert on. That was episode 360. And he talks about like sacred geometry and the music of the universal
soundtrack of life.
Yeah, like to say, I'd love to hear what Aaron thinks about that book. He's got a new book out called Cosmometry, and it's fantastic. It's like decades of study, you know, of the fabric of reality, like that. And then we had Del Bigtree on a couple times as well, talking about vaccine safety. Those are fantastic episodes. Darren hosted a debate, number 342. That was that one. And then, of course, Randall Carlson was on 338 as well. So those are just some of our latest favorites.
Well, guys, I love you so much. I'm sorry to scream at you guys. I get passionate. That was great. Aaron, what happened? Cardinals won the 10th. Guys, I love you. I can't wait to powwow with you guys in person. We got to make this happen. I got to get out there and do a comedy show, and I'd love to do a stand-up show and then do a live podcast with you guys. Let's figure that out. Let's get a date in 2020 and keep screaming. Keep rocking, keep doing drugs. You guys are doing great things, and anything we could do for you guys, never hesitate to ask. They are the Grimerica podcast, and hey, dude, I love you guys to death. They are fucking Graham Dunlop and Darren Grimes. I fucking appreciate both of you guys, and we'll see you guys soon, man.
Don't do drugs.
See you soon, boys. Thanks for having us.
Anytime, all the time. Bye, guys.